Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
On today's podcast, Adam Richard returns for our Mission Impossible series as we go gaga over Mission Impossible Fallout. My name is Justin Hamilton, and what's done is done when we say it's done, here on Big Squid. Welcome to a brand new Mission Impossible. The feedback on this series has been so fantastic. Adam and I have a tasty announcement that I reckon we'll share with you after next week's finale. That's right, the finale of Mission Impossible, as we will be seeing Dead Reckoning on the weekend, and then we will record our hot takes as soon as we've left the cinema. And we'll share the exciting and fun news with you. I think it's exciting and fun, so I hope you do as well. It's a crazy busy week for me as I'm back at The Chase Australia. I'm also writing a sketch for The Chase that will play on the Logies. Between you and me, I'm pretty happy with this sketch, and here's hoping that, you know, I don't have final edits, so hopefully they keep it as is. But you never know. But it's... you know what? If they edit it, I'll put it up on Patreon, and then you can read the sketch in all its beauty right there. But let's wait and see how it plays out. So I've got this sketch I'm writing for the Logies. I've got gigs. I've got show announcements that'll be coming up soon. We will have some announcements for Adelaide soon. Looks like September. Maybe off the top of my head, around the 8th, but don't worry just yet. It is not finalised, but we are looking at coming back down around September 8th for a new gig then. And a whole lot more coming your way. Just a quick reminder, over at Patreon, I'm releasing the live recordings of my 2007 award-winning show. Yes, another award-winning show. I'm full of them. This one's called Three Colours Hammo, and part one, Melbourne, went up last week, and as of today, part two, Laugh and Death, has been uploaded, and episode three will be released next week. So if you'd like to get access to these shows and other bonus podcasts that are there, cheaper tickets to live events, etc., head to patreon.com/Justin Hamilton, and you will find a tier that suits you. Time to catch up with Ethan Hunt and his IMF team as they join forces with CIA operative August Walker to prevent a disaster of epic proportions. An arms dealer by the name of John Lark has joined forces with a group of terrorists known as the Apostles, and they're going to use three plutonium cores for a three-way nuclear attack. When the weapons go missing, Ethan and his team find themselves in a desperate race against time to prevent them from falling into the wrong hands. Oh no, it's time to enter the world of Mission Impossible Fallout.
There cannot be peace without first a great suffering. The greater the suffering, the greater the peace. The end you've always feared is coming. And the blood will be on your hands.
I prayed to God that it wasn't true.
Solomon Lane escaped in Paris.
And now the world is at risk.
This is the CIA's mission. You use a scalpel. I prefer a hammer.
This is a bad idea.
Is it ever a good one? Honestly.
He's not just some observer. He's an assassin.
I don't trust anybody outside of this room.
You go rogue, he's been authorized to hunt you down and kill you.
That's the job. No hard feelings.
Which way, Betty?
Turn left!
Go, 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 go!
What are you waiting for?
I'm jumping out a window! Oh, sorry. Good luck.
When the clock stops, Ethan Hunt will lose everyone he ever cared about.
You don't understand what you're involved in.
You need to walk away.
Please don't make me go through you.
Ethan, that's not who we are.
Maybe we need to reconsider that.
Accept it, Ethan. You've lost this one. What's done is done.
What's done is done when we say it's done.
Showtime.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Well, this is genuinely the first time when I say to you, when did you first see this movie, that I actually 100% specifically remember seeing it at Hoyt's Entertainment Quarter with you.
Yay!
And I feel like this movie experience with you, we'd enjoyed the previous ones,
yeah.
But I feel like this one, like a Grant Morrison time bullet that travels backwards through time.
Yes,
this movie reverberated back right to the beginning and made me enjoy all the films even more.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
And I think it's because we were sitting together and we came to the conclusion that the other actors didn't know that Tom Cruise was actually going to do these stunts for real. So when you see the panic in Henry Cavill's face.
Yeah.
Like one of us whispered it to the other one early.
Mm.
And then it just made the rest of the film even funnier.
Yeah. It was, and the one thing that annoyed me about this film, I have since discovered a piece of juicy knowledge.
Okay.
That has even kind of ameliorated that for me. So now even the one thing that I didn't really enjoy,
right,
I enjoy even more this time. So I was having an edge of my seat moment. I'm like, I've seen this.
Yeah.
Why am I freaking out now? Where's that hook going?
Oh man. we will get to the hook. Don't you worry about that. It's a crazy exciting ending, and it's There are many times that I'm going to say this, but this feels the most Nolan-esque of the films. And the ending in particular is kind of that Dark Knight, lots of things happening at once kind of thing.
Also, the full-frame IMAX-ness of it.
Yes.
Because you know what? I deliberately rewound a couple of those moments while I was watching it this time, and the frame grows.
Yeah.
Like, there are, you know, at the end of the movie where they're cutting between the two different ratios, that's just fine. But the couple of times it moves into IMAX, it's like just gently growing. So it's almost like, so you don't notice. It's like,
yeah.
When did it get big?
Yeah. This is taking up my whole television. Well, I'll just skip forward to the Nolan part of things because it was funny. When the man visits Ethan at the start and he talks, there's a storm coming. That was very much in all the trailers for The Dark Knight Rises. The scientists who can rig up the plutonium, that's once again, Dark Knight Rises. Even the gas mask detaching makes the same noise that Bane's makes. Yes, you have seen a movie too often when you can recognize the noise that a gas mask makes. The car chase feels like The Dark Knight, but during the day.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if, look, I'm prepping for Oppenheimer,
yes.
So, but I wonder if it's the use of IMAX cameras.
There's the IMAX cameras. The other thing that I think you're missing is Lorne Balfe's score.
Okay, so let's just go straight to the squid bit. I wrote all of this, and then when I started doing research, just to jump to one of these things and just remind me that we've already talked about this, criticized for being too much like Hans Zimmer, in particular his music for The Dark Knight Rises, which I did not find until well after that was the second to last thing I wrote on this script for us.
Well, Lorne Balfe wrote music. He was a composer on The Dark Knight.
Yes. Wasn't he?
He was one of the three artists who kind of signed a thing saying, no, it's Hans Zimmer and James Newton Howard, it's their music.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he's kind of riffing on that in this because that's the bit of the score he wrote, then I'm like, I'm fine with that.
I don't even think it's a criticism. I think
it's like it's an effective thing, that kind of the counterpoint of the different strings playing. Yeah. Like, you know, the slow man and the chin, 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 chin. Like, I love that. Like, it works really well. So when I first saw it, I was like, oh, I didn't like that it sounded too much like The Dark Knight. Because, you know, I think at the time we'd been working on Whovians. Yeah. So we'd seen so many work in progress episodes of Doctor Who that had that same music before Murray Gold got his fingers on it to fix it. So, and they do that a lot. Like, it's referenced a lot. They use it as a temp track a lot in Hollywood. And I was just like, oh, Macquarie's just stuck in The Dark Knight and this arsehole's come in. But then finding out that Lorne Balfe was a composer on The Dark Knight, and, you know, there's some sort of reason he couldn't be credited or whatever. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of them. That Hans Zimmer kind of works with.
Yeah.
That Hans Zimmer's name always goes on the film, but there's a whole bunch of other people who do the work.
Is Hans Zimmer the Ando of composers?
You can't say that. He's the Thomas Edison. You know, Thomas Edison never...
Sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah, you know, Thomas Edison never really invented any of those things that he...
Oh, no, I didn't claim.
Like, he employed people.
Right.
And then he just put his name on it. He's the Stan Lee of movie music. No, I think Hans Zimmer does do, like, you know... Some, yeah. But, like...
Orlando does paint.
That's true. Maybe not that picture of Carly Kwong where she had different glasses on in the painting than in front of him. But,
I blame Kylie Kwong for that. Come on.
She should have worn the glasses in the photo that they'd used 3 weeks earlier when someone else did the painting.
By the way, everything we're talking about is much funnier if you saw Tom Gleason in Hard Quiz Live.
Oh, yeah. My God. But, yeah. This time, knowing what I know about Lorne Balfe's work on The Dark Knight, I'm fine with it now. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Interesting, right?
Yeah.
Like once you... It's like, can't believe they're riffing on that. It's like, no, it's that guy's work. And you go, oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yep. He can riff on his own work. He did the work.
That's what they're allowed to do.
Yeah. Like, so it was a whole thing. Like, that's the reason... Like, it's one of the most referenced film scores in, you know, the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And it was not eligible for an Oscar nomination because too many people's names were on the music sheets.
Yeah.
Which and Lorne Balfe was one of them.
Yeah, which is been always one of the... Hang on, why wasn't that nominated?
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, it's because 27 people worked on it. Why can't they all... Why doesn't he just call it the Hans Zimmer Collective and then they can work under a Pixar?
Yeah,
it's
weird. It was... Yeah, it's a strange time. But yeah, it's... That's the one thing that I had a problem with, and now I'm like, no, I'm into it now.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yep. Back from the edge. Segment Stamp That Passport. These are the locations that we may or may not have visited. Fjordland National Park, New Zealand.
Yes.
Oh, have you really?
It is beautiful.
Wow.
It is breathtaking.
I am suitably envious.
I spent a night on a boat overnight.
Right.
And it was just before COVID. Like, we got back and everything was shut.
Oh, yeah, right.
But, yeah, you can go out into those gorgeous, gorgeous, just they're fjords, essentially.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, you just kind of stay overnight on a boat. It's just, like... You know, you watch Lord of the Rings and you're like, oh my God, Middle Earth is the most beautiful place in the world. You go, no, that's a real place. That's just New Zealand.
Yeah. Yeah. They just renamed it.
Yeah.
Rebranded it for the movies. Holiday. I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're amazing. You've got to get onto it. I did a shit one last time and I wrecked my knee. But
well, that was first day in, worst type of holiday. That's my fear.
You know what else I did in New Zealand is I went to the Wetoa workshop and I was allowed to operate the lever that makes the palm trees go down when Thunderbird 2 goes down the runway.
Oh, that is. What a great sentence.
Oh, my God.
What a great sentence.
It was so good.
Wow. I didn't know all that stuff was there.
Yeah. Remember, you know the new series? Yeah. Like, yeah. So
I
all
keep
the,
forgetting there's a new series.
All the props and stuff were practical. It was just the characters were CGI.
Right.
So everything else they made as like little props and stuff. And it was so gorgeous. It was so good.
Damn, that sounds great. Belfast Island?
I have not. My sister lived in County Antrim where Liam Neeson's mother used to work in the post office. But no, I have not.
Was she as intense as Liam?
Apparently so.
That's great. You don't watch Atlanta, do you?
No. I've watched a few.
He has, honestly, one of the most extraordinary cameos and brave cameos in an episode of Atlanta with Brian Tyree Henry, which has to be seen to be believed.
Right. I'll get around to it. Yep. Like, it's one of those. It's weirdly a show that I watch on planes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I get that.
Because it starts with A. It's the first word you see on the Qantas comedy section. Like, oh, yeah, I like that. I watch one of those.
I better get into that. Yeah. London, England, yes.
Yes, yes.
Berlin, Germany.
I have not been to Germany. I'd love to.
I have been to Berlin. It was beautiful.
Didn't you go and see a David Bowie thing there?
I saw the David Bowie's exhibition when it was touring. It felt right to see it in Germany. And because it slightly changed everywhere it went, so there was a little bit more of that era of Bowie. Yeah. So that was fun. Went with the last girlfriend I had.
Ooh.
It was nice. We had a good time. Paris, France.
I have been to Paris, France.
And
I went to Paris just before what they were calling in the press, the cultural Chernobyl opened, which was Euro Disney.
Oh, yeah, right. Wow.
And I went there. It was insane.
Yeah. And Kashmir, India?
No, I have not been.
Have you been to India?
No. You?
I've been to India. Yeah, I went with the comedy festival. What is it? What's the Raw Comedy show. And we did Kate McLennan and I ran classes and hosted.
Fun.
Yeah, so it was great. Remember, God, what was that young fella's name that we had on at the shelf?
He was great.
Damn. He was so funny and what a nice lad. But he was the winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. My ex-wife is in Kashmir.
She is too.
Welcome to In Jokes with Adam and Justin. Segment, The Year in Action, Den of Thieves with Gerard Butler.
Oh.
I had to put in brackets Gerard Butler because I did not know that movie.
I still don't know that movie. I've seen many a Gerard Butler movie and I'm like, yeah, I don't even remember this movie. It's just finished.
Yes. By the way, there was a spelling error in here. It was meant to read Tomb Raider, but I've got Tom Raider.
Tom Raider,
Sicario, Day of the Soldado.
Oh, this the second Sicario.
Yes. Yeah. Which I saw and really enjoyed. And then I bumped into someone. I saw it at a preview.
Hmm.
And I saw someone who was traumatized by it. And because it was the first person I saw, I was a bit like, oh, am I watching this incorrectly? Creed 2.
Oh, wow. It's so recent. Like, this film felt like it came out ages ago.
Yeah, I know. Ready Player One.
Oh, I was watching that the other day on Netflix.
I still haven't seen it.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
There's a whole, like, it's, you know how AI was Spielberg doing Kubrick?
Yes.
There is a whole section of this that's like Spielberg doing Kubrick. And it's, you're like, oh, yeah, I get it. It's fun.
Right. Okay. Avengers Infinity War and Black Panther.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All of the, like, it doesn't feel like the same year.
No, Avengers Infinity War feels a long time ago.
Yeah.
Creed 2 doesn't feel that long ago. Black Panther
doesn't feel as long ago as Infinity War.
Yeah. It's strange, isn't it? It's a strange year.
Maybe because Infinity War goes for so long, it feels like a long time ago.
Yeah. The Empire Strikes Back of the... segment, all-star guests, Simon Pegg, Ving Rhames, Sean Harris, Alec Baldwin, Rebecca Ferguson, Vanessa Kirby.
Oh,
Jesus Christ, coming in hot. Henry Cavill,
mm-hmm.
coming in hot.
Mm-hmm.
Angela Bassett, Wes Bentley, coming in sideways.
Wes Bentley, I saw his name at the start. I'm like, I don't remember him being in this. And then he turned up, I'm like, oh, him.
Yeah. the perfect for... Every situation, Michelle Monaghan.
Yes.
And the best actor of his generation, Wolf Blitzer.
Oh, Wolf Blitzer.
So his one of our segments is really interesting because of how short it is all of a sudden.
Mm.
So Cruising Around the Mission, these are the movies Tom Cruise made before and after. 2016, Jack Reacher Around. So I had added three new movies to go with Don't Look Back, and but I've dropped one of them because just before I got online, I just saw, just before we started recording, I just saw very briefly, I didn't even have time to record, to reply from regular listener Ryan.
Yes.
He's, anyway, so I have Jack Reach Around Cleaning Up the Mess, Jack Reach Around Don't Look At Me, but Ryan's coming hot. With Jack Reach Around Risty Business.
Risty Business! Oh my God.
I've been waiting to get to that because good work, Ryan.
What fucking about Jack Reach Around Bottom Gun?
Oh, far out. Oh.
We don't even need to edit Jack Reach Around Cocktail.
No, it's just an apostrophe in between cock and tail. Jack Reacher, a cocktail.
Oh my God, he started something terrible.
Risty Business. Ryan, risty take the rest of the day off, is mate.
Amazing.
Like, it was so funny that I nearly called you when you were like 2 minutes away.
Just say this is the best. I'm so glad you saved that for me. That was amazing.
Risty Business. Fuck, I laughed so hard. Oh, dear. Jack Reacher around, Mummy Mia. Anyway, it's just... What is that? Is it Reach Around Top Bum?
Top Bum. No, that doesn't make sense.
I'm just going for rhymes now. Anyway, Jesus. I have to be honest, Jack Reacher Around has gotten me a lot of emails.
Oh, my God. So, it's been so stupid.
Yeah, I need to tell everyone who found it as ridiculously amusing as we did, thank you, and keep them coming. I will gladly bring up any more suggestions on what the Jack Reacher Around series should be.
Risty Business is the best.
Anyway, so just... So 2016, Jack Reacher, 2017, The Mummy, and American Made. Then nothing until 2022, and it's Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, and wow.
So interesting. So I guess Top Gun Maverick should have come out 2020.
Yeah, like 2019. 2019. Nearly. Like, yeah. It was like, I think it was put back until almost the start of 2020, and then it was like, oh, yeah, no, we can't do that. There's no one at the cinema.
Yeah.
I mean, glad they held off because it is a big screen movie.
Yes. Like, yeah, absolutely.
And there's so much in this film that we're talking about today that, like, the whole finale with the helicopters just really made me think of Top Gun Maverick. I'm like, that could be the same film. Like, just the way they're shot. It's just like, oh, yeah, we're in a canopy and the whole world is tilting outside and this is amazing and exciting and fast.
He looks a little bit more panicked in the helicopter than he does. But... anyway, it's great. So let's get into the film. I've completely forgotten the little nightmare that Ethan has at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely forgot
it. Same.
And when it started like that, I was like, geez, is this going to be another one of those movies that for some reason hasn't stuck? But then heaps more of it had stuck, but I just completely forgot.
You know what was weird? I remembered the explosion, but I didn't realize it was a dream because I was like, is this the one where they let the bomb go off?
Right. Yeah.
But I think I was thinking of 24.
Right.
When there was a nuclear bomb in LA and then it was all fine the next series.
Right. Jack Reach Around the Colour of Mummy.
Stop it.
Sorry. It's just so entertaining.
You turn yourself inside out.
Risky Business. Like it's... If anyone gets annoyed that this gets too childish, you can also blame Ryan. So we discover the syndicate are still working and have rebranded as the Apostles. They are attempting to acquire three stolen plutonium cores for John Lark, a man who has hired the Apostles to use with the three bombs. When Ethan attempts to recover the plutonium, the apostles take Luther captive and escape with the plutonium.
So here's
a little character question. Do you think Ethan has always looked out for his friends, or is this a new thing for him?
No, I think he always has.
Right.
You know, it's... I mean, it's... You kind of go, is it an Ethan thing or is it a Tom Cruise thing? And you just go, there's no way a Tom Cruise character would let that happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I guess we've already seen early on his team getting murdered and him not coping. And I wonder what's going to happen to this. Like, someone big has to die in this first.
Yeah.
This next film, part one.
Like, right at the top. I mean, I thought that was going to happen in this because it's like, well, so many times someone dies in the first few minutes of a...
Yeah. Of a, I thought Luther was down.
Mission Impossible movie. I thought, they're killing off Ving Rhames.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a good start, actually. And, you know, these movies are very good at giving Ethan little failures but not big failures.
Yeah.
So it does raise the stakes and it does make him feel vulnerable.
Also, they're very good at giving him, Ethan will get it sorted. And it's like, I have no idea how I'm going to do that, but I'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of him working it out on the go. He
improvises a lot.
Yeah. He's very good at yes. IMF capture Norwegian nuclear weapons expert Nils Delbrok and try to get information out of him about Lark. They fake him out in a pretend hospital and Benji pretending to be Wolf Blitzer.
Oh my God, it's so ridiculous.
Like, how much do you love the elaborate stage plays?
Oh, it's so stupid. And the walls fall over. Like, you're like, well, you wouldn't build it that way, but good on you.
Yeah. Well, it's all about the reveal. They're more. Yeah. It's borderline. What are those Now You See Me?
Yeah. Lots of illusionists.
Yeah.
The you know what's weird about like the Wolf Blitzer thing? I remember loving it in this film, but he's turned up in so many other movies since. I'm like, stop ruining it, Wolf. It was a really good gag the first time.
Yeah, calm down, mate. Calm down, Blitzer.
I will say that Simon Pegg in this film, because it's his fourth movie?
Yeah.
Four, five, six? Oh, no, third. No, he was in three.
Yeah.
Three, four, five. So this is his fourth movie. He looks like he's aged about 20 years, which... You know, it's been a while between movies.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise has aged 20 minutes in the meantime.
Oh, yeah. He does look a bit older in this one.
Yeah, but like...
Not when he's running, though, on his broken foot.
No, he and Simon Pegg have been in the films the same amount of time.
Yeah.
Why has they aged at different speeds?
Well, one is powered by Xenu. I guess. And the opportunity of making Jack Reach around movies.
Jack Reach around Rain on Me. I'm sorry.
I'm great. I'm not going to get sick of any of these. Jack Reach around Porn on the 4th of July. When do you watch it? Just the 4th of July. No, never any other day.
There's nothing remarkable about the porn.
No. It's just very patriotic. There's a great moment in... So in rewatching this, the elaborate, you know, stage play that they put on, all the dialogue is much funnier this time.
Yes.
Because at the time, the first time you watch it, you're a bit like, this is a bit on the nose. And then the second time you watch it, you go, yes, this is a bit on the nose. And in particular, Luther saying to Ethan, that's not who we are.
I'm going to read out the manifesto. All right, we'll read out the manifesto.
He's yeah. Like,
why are they acquiescing so quickly?
Yeah, it's great. You believe that Luther and Ethan all believe in their roles.
Yeah.
They're very good. But I have to say, the first time we saw it, I honestly thought they had bombed.
Oh, yeah. Rome, I was Jerusalem, like, oh, man, this is a big opening.
Yeah.
Because they did blow up the Kremlin.
Yeah. So it's on the cards. 2 movies
ago. So you're like, well, yeah, do it.
That's what you do. The further the movies go, the more shit happens.
Yeah. Let's blow up heaps of crap.
Yeah. The IMF have a new plan to have Ethan head to a Paris nightclub where he will intercept Lark and buy the plutonium. The CIA director, Erica Sloan.
Oh,
yes, Angela Bassett.
She's
fucking
so good.
Just... coming in strong, isn't happy with IMF and sends her agent August Walker, great name, to keep an eye on Ethan. This is, but Angela Bassett, Like, fuck, this is what this series needs.
Yeah.
Fucking Angela Bassett.
Poor Angela Bassett has been sadly forced into a lot of these administrative roles.
Yes. Well, I think it's the massive mistake of Wakanda Forever. And I give all of those creators, I give them the longest length of rope because of not only the forced and tragic circumstances under which they were working, but I also I think the thing that nobody takes into account was that they were all grieving.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not just the technical side of it. Everyone is sad.
Everyone's actually sad and over losing a friend.
And I just don't think they should have killed off Angela Bassett.
No.
I probably would have made her the Black Panther.
Yeah.
Because she could do it all, and it's all fucking CGI anyway.
Yes.
Like, that speech she gives when, you know...
Oh, my God. She gives so many great speeches in that movie. But the one to the UN, she's like, oh,
mate. I forget who it was. Someone said to me, oh, why is she getting nominated for, you know, Best Supporting Actress?
Like, and I said, did you see... seen this movie?
And the answer was no. And I was like, just go and watch her speech to the UN. And
like, there's a whole plot in that movie that's quite useless and boring. But you forget about it once she starts yelling. It's like, oh,
so good. So good. I think Henry Cavill's great in this.
Yes.
And I think he is physically perfect. Because
he's huge.
Because he is a fucking beast.
He's a monster.
And you feel like, you know, one of the scenes that I remember, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but one of the scenes, like moments that I specifically remember from this film is in that fight scene in the bathroom when he fucking kind of gets his guns ready.
He pumps the guns.
It's like, Jesus Christ.
I remember Tom Cruise talking about that. He goes, yeah, he pumps the guns. It's great. And it's like Tom Cruise was excited about watching a man pump his guns. I'm like,
right.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Like, Jack Reacher around, pump the guns.
Jack Reacher around, come lateral.
Yes. Oh, man. So anyway, Agent Walker is said to keep an eye on Ethan. So this is the moment where they halo jump into Paris during a thunderstorm.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, part of what I love about this film is that even when there's a plan, there just needs to be one more extra thing to make it difficult, like there's a thunderstorm.
Yeah. But also, like, you know, Ethan very sensibly goes, oh, the thunderstorm, we're going to have to do something else. And it's like, nah, I'll be fine. It's like, oh, I'm not the insane one.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah. Yep. That's August Walker. And he gets struck by lightning.
Yep. They both do.
Yeah. Oh, mate. It is so... It's such a... It's a full-on scene. Even though, once again, we've seen it.
Mm.
And we also know that the movie is not going to kill off Tom Cruise and Henry Cavill 40 minutes in. Oh. But it's still...
But the fact that they did that's the first big IMAX scene. It's like, let's throw some IMAX cameras out of a plane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And those things are heavy. So, you know, when you think, oh, how amazing is it that Tom Cruise did it? He's not the one with the fucking camera.
I know. Like the giant IMAX camera. I did love, like, again, you know, you don't know how much has been manipulated, but it just looks like they really did jump out of a plane.
Well, I've got some stuff about that later on, but yeah, it's phenomenal. And then the way they come down and, like, I'm expecting them to go straight through the windows into the rave going on downstairs.
Oh, and also that great little joke where...
you forgot your oxygen.
You lost your oxygen because his has broken and Tom Cruise has given him his.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
And then so they land on top, they get changed, they go downstairs into the middle of a rave where they quite clearly look like two people who work for the government because they are way older than everyone else.
So much older.
And they track who they believe to be Lark into a bathroom. It's like, what is this? A fucking Zack Snyder film? And they end up...
He loves a fight in a bathroom.
He loves it. And they end up in a fight. I reckon the fight is a scorcher.
Oh, yeah. I love that it's a big bathroom too.
Yes. Yeah.
But it starts just in the cubicle.
Well, it's funny. It kind of starts off as... there's some kind of very brief, weird... Brian De Palma setup, like it feels a little bit Untouchables on the steps where you know they go in and then someone else comes in to wash their hands and it's the eye movement and looking around and waiting for people to leave and then it turns into the fight.
Oh, and of course, ridiculous CIA smashes the face machine.
Yeah, he's useless. Like, he is, now we can't use this thing properly. But, of course, we know that later on, you know. But also, we then have Ilse Faust turn up, and it's like, great, Rebecca Ferguson's here. Awesome. This is fantastic. Got one of the, I think this is my favorite fight scene in the
The whole franchise.
Yeah, it's
so good.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they smash through a bunch of toilets.
Yes.
They smash through a wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, Ethan looks a bit like behind the eight ball.
Out of his depth.
What is happening here?
Yes. And that's kind of cool.
Mm.
Specifically, that guy is fucking dangerous if he's taking that Cavalan cruise.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes Ferguson to kind of save him. I do. And it does have, like, don't get me wrong, it's dark, but, you know, can you make a mask out of the face? And Cruz is like saying, yeah, well, I need a face.
I know. And also just the fact that, like, he's off screen. You're like, oh, yeah. Oh. She's like, I was aiming for his chest.
Yeah. It's like, man, dark. Here by myself, laughed.
So, yeah. There is a Jack Reacher movie surely set in this toilet.
Yeah.
Because there's that moment where all those guys come in and want to join them. They see their feet under the table. Like, they're like, oh, they're making a Jack Reacher run in there.
Yeah, I know. That's what, if you have the subtitles on, that's what they're talking about. So now with Lark dead, Ethan must go into the meeting with the White Widow, Helena Mistopoulos, acting as the broker. Hitmen arrive and also turn this into another fight scene. It's so quick.
What is this weird cabaret show that she's doing where she's... Is she talking about Vanessa Redgrave's character being her mum from the first movie? She talks about her mother, Max.
Oh, I hadn't really...
And I was like, is she meant to be the daughter of the broker from the very first movie... You know, with the Job 3-6 or whatever it was called. Yeah, Max, who was Vanessa Redgrave's character. And I'm like, Vanessa Kirby, the daughter of... Hang on.
Well, I guess they're both called Vanessa.
But I found that, and also I was like, because she's, you know, reeling off this manifesto, and I'm like, why is she doing it into an old-timey microphone in front of a room full of people? Like, this scene makes no sense to me, but it's very good-looking.
I feel exactly the same way. Vanessa Kirby, for me, makes as big a splash as Rebecca Ferguson.
I love her so much.
Man,
she's great.
It's out of control how she is able to control a scene that Tom Cruise is in.
She managed to steal an entire TV show away from Claire Foy and Matt Smith, for Christ's sake. Like, she's, you know. Like, for some reason, The Crown is all about Princess Margaret in the first season.
Yeah.
Like, how did that happen?
Yeah. Also, you know, if the last film had the hottest moment in the film with the Rebecca Ferguson showing a bit of leg while getting her gun ready, Vanessa Kirby pulling the knife out of her...
Oh, my Lord.
Goodness. And the floppy disk in the mouth has been reduced to number 3 for me. Ethan and Walker discover to get the plutonium they must extract Solomon Lane from armoured convoy moving through Paris. See, once again, it's like nothing's easy in this film, which is great. Ethan has a moment where he imagines it going wrong with him ending up having to shoot an officer. Oh,
that is full on.
So once again, I remember the first time we saw that, I thought that was happening.
Yeah. And well, they want you to. They want you to think that, you know, this is... And you're just like, this can't be...
Yeah.
Tom can't have killed all those police.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really well done. And he... I guess this is an insight into how Ethan's head works.
Mm.
You know, it's like he sees all the angles.
I've imagined this. It's not good.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do it another way.
I tell you what, the White Widow, the broker, man, she's got a big house. Like, she's got some serious coin. And,
I know.
And just a lot of family happy to work for it, too. So then Ethan and Walker have to attack the convoy, but he goes off script.
Oh, and you know what I love? Like, normally when they do this, when they show the imagined version or the... Often it's, you know, accompanied with someone telling the story of you have to do this and then you have to do that and blah, 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 and they're showing it happening. Then they go and do it for real. They, like, repeat way too much of it.
Yes.
And you're like, yeah, you just showed me all this.
Yeah.
Why am I now seeing it again so I can see where it goes wrong?
Yeah.
Whereas here it's just like, no, we're going to divert right from the top.
Yeah.
It's just like, bang.
Yeah.
And just the trying to get all those gunmen out of the truck is one of my favorite things in this movie. Just like, I'm going to drive really badly so they'll fall out.
It's it's a...
And the easy way would have just been to back up into a wall so the doors can't open.
Yeah. Like, but instead he shakes them out.
Yeah. Instead he just goes around the block a few times.
Yeah. He needs the truck to do his getaway and then... have an inception moment and squeeze into a wall that they kick their way out of the front.
It's so stupid.
This is like one of the biggest chases I can remember of anything.
Oh, and not just a big chase, like a big chase quite obviously in Paris.
Yes.
Like it's a really recognizable city.
Yes.
Like they haven't filmed this, you know, on a back lot somewhere.
Yeah.
Like this isn't in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Pretending to be Paris.
So you got the trucks. Like it starts with the trucks and then Solomon in the van.
Yeah,
like that's
a great scene.
I'm not keen with water.
No,
anyway,
you're not mad.
But
for
that
it.
Is that bit where he takes the breath, knowing that the water's about to splash down on him, is mesmerizing.
Also, just a really like great decision to have a bolted down camera as that's happening. So it's like, oh, so we're just like. Our point of view is his point of view because he's tied to the seat. So the water is moving as opposed to the reality, which is all of that kind of flying around.
Yeah.
Normally, most directors would have, you know, that'd be a really blurry scene. It'd happen really quickly.
Yes.
It'd be like close-up shots of bubbles. That's, again, one of the problems I had with that third movie is that that's what we would have got.
Yeah.
Would have been close on his face. It would have been a lot of water, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But this is like big screen storytelling, and I kind of love it.
Yeah,
it's
genuinely exciting because
millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Once again, you're still not sure. Are they going to get him?
Yeah.
Like, I figured they're going to. Once again, we're too early in the film.
Yeah. Although at this point it did feel like it had been on for 3 hours.
So that's interesting. You know, it was so much had happened that when I looked, and it's not that I was having a bad time. I was just curious because I'd lost all sense of time and I was 70 minutes in.
Yeah.
So I was at the halfway point, but I also wouldn't have been surprised if I was 2 hours in or if I was half an hour in.
Yeah. I think I had a bladder moment. I had to go to the loo. It was like, I press pause and I'm like, oh, yep. There's heaps.
Yep. It's got motorbikes. Rebecca Ferguson on a motorbike. That's what I'm looking for. That's
so good.
Great.
And again, actually in Paris. Like,
actually
madly.
In Paris. Little cars. Simon Pegg's just a bit of a bitch towards...
Did you have to get the small car?
Yeah, yeah. I bet this was your decision. There's boats.
There are boats. I love a boat.
When Ethan finally flips over and you think, oh, how's he going to get out of this? Dun, 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 dun. Cut a little hole.
Yes.
We saw him take the knife out.
He gets the knife out. You're like, what's he going to do with the knife?
Yeah, is he going to, like, because it doesn't make sense.
No.
Because your first thought is, he just doesn't seem like someone who's going to get stabby to save himself. It's got Alana's people. It's got the cops. Yep. Like the scene with the, like, the once again, you think that female prison cop is going
to
be.
That is such a beautifully tense moment of him trying to go, just, I know you can't because it's your job not to, but leave us alone.
Yeah, because you're thinking that August is going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got Larksmen. Anyway, all of this. Is there a part that's your favourite? I can't really. That was my question, but I just kind of can't.
No, it's all good.
It's all good.
This is a really, like, wonderfully tense moment, though, with that woman. Like,
yeah.
And you're just like, oh, no, this is, like, the one thing he's been trying to avoid is hurting the police, and now it's going to happen.
And it's a young girl.
Oh, yeah. And she's just running up a parking ticket for someone.
Yeah. It's also like, don't open the door until you get in the car, mate.
Yeah.
You idiots. Anyway. Yeah. Walker attempts to convince his boss that Ethan is Lark. And soon, at a London safe house, Huntley arrives and tells Ethan that someone is trying to frame him and that he's shutting this mission down. I need it. It always needs to be getting shut down.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Alec Baldwin's got to shut it down.
Yeah.
Henry Zerny wasn't there, obviously, so Alec Baldwin had to do it.
He had to do it. He's he comes in good in this, and there's an argument. Ethan knocks out Huntley. Benji becomes Solomon via a mask. I love that he doesn't want to.
Like, yes.
The guy who always wants to mask. He's a little bit Han Solo in this, where he's always got a bad feeling about it. And then Ethan and Benji and Luther head off, and Walker is left with the real Solomon and reveals that he's Lark.
Oh,
God damn it, Henry Cavill. But then we discover that it isn't the real Solomon. It's Benji. It's a big switcheroo. It's
been a big mask. And I do love that moment where he's kind of like, I've been swindled.
Yeah. But I like that he still tries to talk himself, get himself out of it.
That's what bad guys do.
And so it's like, oh, well, this must be the end of the film. And there must be 50 minutes of credits.
That's an Avengers film.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that really is. But then his people turn up and Huntley is murdered. It's a bummer. Like, I really like Alec Baldwin in these films.
But, you know, it's a...
It's Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible. You've got to kill a favourite, a big famous name.
He goes out well, though.
Yeah.
He's, like, he fights, you know, it's holds his own.
I wonder if this was meant to be Renner, or if this was kind of like a placeholder character. It's like, who can we kill? Like, we can...
Yeah.
It can be Alec Baldwin from the last movie, kind of come good.
Yeah.
We can kill off Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
We could bring in anyone from any other we could bring in anyone that, like, Lawrence Fishburne could have come back and got stabbed.
Yeah. Yeah, we're bringing Fishburne back for a little stabby moment. All of this is fantastic as well. Like, it's all so exciting, and how are they going to get out of this? And it's great.
And it's such a, like, it's meant to be a confusing scene because you're meant to be confused about what's going on.
Yeah.
And I do love how it works. Also, that just moment of where they're like, oh, we've got the upper hand, we've caught the guy. And it's like, no, I've got guys on the inside because there's bad people at the CIA. And it's like, no, it's...
It's also, you know, you're right. It is confusing, but you never lose your place in it, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's meant to be maybe confusing is the wrong word. Like, it's discombobulating. It's kind of like it throws you. You're like, what? I'm now not on an even keel about what's happening, because I was convinced that they were about to sew everything up, and now it's been thrown for a loop. And it's so good.
Yeah. So Walker gets away, which gives us what we've been waiting for: Ethan running.
Oh yeah.
I nearly tore all my hamstrings just watching. Like, there's so much running in this, and it's great. It's Benji on the iPad.
And so many great, stupid IT jokes as well.
Like, oh, sorry, I had it in 2D.
Oh, no, it's upside down. I forgot to put it on auto-rotate. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's like, left, really? No, sorry, right.
Walking through the funeral, running up the... Why is he running in circles? That's great. Getting stuck in the office. Also, him trying to work out what to do.
Yeah.
Like, he's a little bit...
I could jump from there, but it's high.
Yeah. We see Tom Cruise actually break his foot.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to watch.
It is. Like, and they had to take, like, weeks off.
Yeah. I've got some interesting stuff about that. And then by the time Ethan catches up with Walker, hanging at the bottom of the metal lift.
Yeah.
Walker or Lark drops a photo of Ethan's ex, Julia, and he's told that he'll murder her if Ethan continues. And then he gets away in a helicopter, thus ending this bit of action, which feels like it has gone on for 2 days.
And again, actually running around London, unmistakably one of the busiest cities in the world. You're like,
yeah.
I know it's a Tom Cruise movie, so their permissions are out the wazoo, but I'm just so used to seeing people running around Vancouver pretending to be Prague.
Yeah. And once again, Cavill is the bad guy. I feel like that guy has not had the luck. I think he could have been an excellent Superman. Mm-hmm. I think he's fine in the first film, but it just makes some weird choices. And as I've stated on this podcast before, I have a soft spot for it because Mum and I saw it on the Warner Brothers lot on when we went over for a 60th birthday. Heaven. So, and we were sitting with Leonard Maltin.
Oh my God.
So, you know, Mum and I were having a pretty good time. So I kind of forgive it its flaws, but it does have flaws.
It's, you know what? It's a really good film. Like most superhero films, and I think James Gunn even said this the other day, it's great and it's atmospheric and there's a lot of interesting stuff happening until the lazy third act.
You know, there's two things that I'd do different. One is you have young Clark saving everyone and he can't save his father.
Yeah.
That's different, you know, and I don't have the hiding yourself. It's like we've got to try and work out a way that you can do good and you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, and then you just didn't need to go Miracle Man with the ending. Like you could have had all of that, but you just need him saving people and less. Actually, less would have been good.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is... And then he never really got another opportunity to do it. Did you see the new guy got announced?
Oh, yeah, David Corensweet. He's been in... I watched him in a TV show called Hollywood. He was really good.
Right.
He's got old school movie star looks.
Yeah. Well, he kind of looks like a babushka doll of Henry Cavill to me in the photo I saw. It's like, hang on, did they open up Henry Cavill and pull him out? But anyway...
And Rachel Brosnahan is one of my favorite actors. Like,
she's fantastic.
But, you know, I felt the same as Amy Adams, and she was, like, useless. Like, just, I'm like, I love her. I love her in everything. And she was just had nothing to do.
Nothing to do.
Then writhe around in a bath like she was doing a scene from Sucker Punch.
Yeah. Man, I know so many people that are not into Amy Adams and just do not get it.
I love her.
And I don't get that they don't get it.
They need to watch her singing "I'm Having a Me Party" from the Muppet movie.
Absolutely. Totally agree. It's one thing Arrival was missing.
Don't watch Sharp Objects though. That will really put her offside.
Oh man, I love Sharp Objects.
It's so good, but she's really hard to watch. Like a difficult character.
That is one of the rare TV shows that the finale.
Yeah.
Right at the end of the finale.
Yes.
Oh, man, I was creeped out and I watched it at 1 o'clock in the day and was like, am I going to be able to sleep? Because this is...
It's not okay.
...giving me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
Which was the name of my Bee Gees cover band back in the late 70s. The IMF discover they're going to detonate the bombs at a medical camp over the Siachen Glacier, which would contaminate the water supply of India, Pakistan and China, resulting in the destruction of one third of the world's population. Meanwhile, Alana wants Ilsa handed over. The IMF are on their own again. When they arrive at the medical camp, Julia and her husband are running the camp.
What?
Which has all been set up by Solomon to ruin Ethan's life.
Yeah.
And it's great because the stakes just couldn't be any higher.
It's the highest of all stakes.
And they're still not quite sure. They have to disarm the bombs, but they have to let the timer go, but they have to get their hands on the detonator and they have to do the elaborate
You can't disarm the bombs until the timer has started.
Yep.
And then after that you have to take the detonator pin out of the walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. But I love it.
It's great. I love it. Like I do love it.
And also, if you try to diffuse one of the nuclear bombs, it'll set the other one off.
Yep.
But there's a flaw.
Of course.
It's so stupid.
Yep. Which Benji found on his iPad.
Yeah. It's glorious.
It's... like, it's so good. It's ridiculous, but it's so good.
Yeah. And I love you know, tension that's been set up really well. It's like, here's the things that need to happen, and now we're going to show you them not quite happening, so you get really nervous.
Yeah.
Like the... I don't know if you've been... Oh! Sorry.
What is the music of your phone?
That is Star Trek, but I don't know why I just started doing that.
Did you accidentally... Is it time for your heart pills? Was that your...
Maybe my watch did it. Sometimes my watch makes it go off.
I won't edit any of this out. So what part of what I love about this finale is it gives everyone moments. Like, everyone gets a moment to shine.
Yeah.
So I love bumping into Julia.
Yeah.
And fucking hell, Monahan. Oh. Monahan's acting is so out of control where, you know, Ethan's talking, he's pretending to be this doctor. Fucking Julia's, like, on the nose, fucking new husband who just seems like a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
He's just a really nice guy. But just shut up, mate.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just not into him. And like, I wouldn't even be into him even if Ethan wasn't there. I'd be like, shit, Julia. Like, I know you've had a tough time. But anyway, the way Monahan's face clocks that there is something going on.
Yeah.
Is extraordinary.
Like, I think it's one of those things of, like, Christopher McQuarrie, because he's the writer and director, obviously is like, I know Monahan can do this.
Yeah.
Because it's not, like, not every actor can do that.
Nah.
Like, I've seen many actors just stand there with a blank look and you're like, what is happening in this moment? And so they have to put in extra dialogue or voiceover or whatever it takes. But she's just doing the whole thing of like, yep, there is something terrible happening. I get it.
Yeah.
You're not here just by coincidence, a fun coincidence.
Yeah.
There are no fun coincidences in your world.
No, not at all. And so when she goes to help Luther dismantle the bomb, like it's like this whole ridiculous setup, you get them, and like Ving Rhames is really good as well. Like, I don't know if we ever really talk about how great Ving Rhames is.
So good.
But you know, that's, and then she's a little bit sassy, and then Ilsa hears it. It's like, oh, I like her. She's got some attitude.
It's like the left. She's like, your left or my left? That's not your left.
Yeah, it's great. So, you know, and his compassion with her as well. Yeah. It's like, anyway, and then. I hope there's Benji and Ilsa in the next film. Like, they're really good together
as well.
Looking around, walking into places. Yeah. Benji's trying to open up all these...
All the containers. I'll shoot it. No, it's a nuclear bomb. Yeah,
that's so good. But then the fight scene with Solomon Lane is... Like, once again, I thought Benji's fucked. They're going to...
Well, I thought Ilsa was fucked because, like, her hands are so tied that she can't...
Yeah, but then she's just so badass herself. That she just fucking launches herself backwards into a table while she's strapped to a chair. Because I'm sure the world's full of shit and awful and wouldn't go for this, but if Tom didn't want to make any of these movies anymore and you continued it with her.
Oh, yeah.
Like.
I would love that. I mean.
Like, you'd still make like $500 or $600 million, wouldn't you?
Have you been watching Silo? Like,
I'm a few episodes behind, but I'm watching it for her.
There's an episode where, again, like this movie, where they explain all the stakes and it's high tension and high pressure.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of an action sequence for her. Yep. And you just, like, I just love when you understand exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
And everyone's doing their best behavior. Although that was underwater, so I can see that you wouldn't have enjoyed that.
Mate, I was freaking the fuck out. But anyway. But all of that fight scene's great.
Yeah.
You know, so they've got to dismantle the bombs but not be ahead of time, and they've got to do it at exactly the right moment. And Lark's taken off in a helicopter with the detonator. Oh, so no. Ethan has to climb, has to jump on the other helicopter. He climbs up, he loses his footing. He slips down. Then he's like, how the fuck he gets from whatever that package is that he's completely underneath.
Yes.
How he manages to crawl up that, crawl up the rope, beat the shit out of the guy in the back, kill the pilot.
He'll take over the pilot.
Take over the thing and then still trying to work out what to do. I also like that when he tries to drop the payload onto... He misses. Like he's... So it's not... Like not everything's working out. Then he's...
That scene where he falls and catches the payload and is hanging off the bottom of it, I'm just like, this is stupid, but I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just one of those moments where it's one hand and he's hanging free in the air and you're like, he probably actually did that, didn't he?
Oh, he probably, yeah. Eight takes of falling off the helicopter. Each time he fell to the ground and smashed his bones and he said, oh, just give me one more take. I'll get it, mate. And then he just rams the helicopter to the helicopter.
Oh,
and this is
crazy bastard trying to ram us.
Like, yeah. Not acting. He's definitely panicking. The fight scene, the thing slipping.
Oh.
Them like fucking Rocky and Apollo at round 15.
Yes.
Just throwing haymakers.
Yeah, just like, oh God. While the other helicopter falls slowly.
Slowly.
Like that hook.
And then they're both hanging on. He's fucking sprayed fuel into Henry Cavill's handsome face. And then a hook fucking grabs him and lodges onto his head and drags him to his death.
The many times that hook was like, I was like, why are they showing the close-up of the hook? And I was like, oh, the hook's losing it.
Yeah.
Oh, the hook's going. Like every time the hook slipped a bit more, I was like, ah!
Yeah. Yeah, and I love it. I love that it's in the brick, like in the rock, so the rock is like crumbling. And then, he's trying to get his hands on the detonator, and then there's just that clever editing where you go, is that a flash? That's him looking at the sun.
Yeah.
And you just for a brief instance.
I love that they made you think that they went there.
Yeah.
That it happened. We're going to go back to Wolf Blitzer.
Mate. The only thing that could have made this movie better is Wolf Blitzer came down in a helicopter and picked him up.
Instead of Angela Bassett.
Yeah. So in the end, Ethan saves the day. Angela Bassett / Sloan comes in to mop up. Julia's super uncool husband lets everyone know, I reckon you're not a doctor. No worries, doctor. Yes, no, we get it, mate. You're across that maybe something's going on that you're not entirely across. I like him as an actor too.
Wes Bentley, yeah. He's cute.
It is the most thankless role.
Yeah.
In
a Tom Cruise movie.
Like he's...
The only one more thankless is being the big star early on who gets killed off.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think being the big star, if you're a massive star, getting killed off early is great.
Drew Barrymore in Scream. Yes, amazing.
That's great. Josh Holloway, mate, he could probably use being in a bit longer.
Yeah.
And being in something else.
I know.
Yeah.
But Emilio Estevez and Kristen Scott Thomas going early in the first one. You're like, what is this movie?
Yeah. What is happening? And then so... Cavill cops the hook in the face. Vanessa Kirby gets her guy, so she gets to kind of keep face and she's happy. And Ilsa is let off the hook. Like everything is kind of, all the toys are put back in the box.
Yeah, all the storylines resolve.
Yeah, and done in a way that's just really well done. Like it doesn't feel contrived. It feels like, no, this is how the story was meant to play out. And also kind of a little bit of a fascinating finale where it's just Ethan going, ah.
Yeah, stop touching my ribs. Don't make me laugh.
They've done a really good job in the last few films of turning him into a man of mystery and making him, adding some humor, and through the humor, making him vulnerable. And it's the decision, not sure of what the decision making is. Yeah. And, as you said in that fight scene, you think, is he up to the task now?
It's a bit slow.
Yeah, it's great. And Michelle Monaghan, who I love dearly. And then when her and Rebecca Ferguson have a moment, it's like, just hug and let me watch. Not in a weird way. Just I love both of you so much. I just want to look at both of you together. Segment Who and How. Which character do you think you would be and how would you react in their place?
Look, I kept thinking, am I Angela Bassett? Just a little bit too administrative, or am I Alec Baldwin, who
you get a few good punches in and then you get taken out
and get killed? And then I realized, no, I'm Vanessa Kirby's stupid brother.
Oh, right.
Like, don't really understand the plan, have spent too much time at the gym.
Yeah.
My shirts don't quite fit.
Yeah. And it's perfect that Vanessa Kirby's your sister.
Yeah.
It's not a waste.
Yeah. I mean, you've met my sister. She's 10 times better than I am.
Michelle is very good.
It's the same relationship. I'm a big dumb galoot and she's sharp as a whip.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I reckon I'd be the French female cop who gets shot, but it's for my own good, but I don't understand what's going on.
Yes. I think everyone...
I've been shot, which isn't good, but I'm not dead, which is good.
That guy just shot the four people that shot me.
Yeah. You want me to write a report? I don't understand what's going on. I was giving this Vespa a ticket. Zero charisma. Now that I had a bit of trouble with this, and I kind of thought maybe the Norwegian nuclear weapons specialist, but I kind of didn't care. I reckon it's Wes Bentley, but I don't think it's because he's a bad actor. I just think that character, I don't know why.
Well, he's meant to be not as good as Tom.
Yeah, and he's not.
No.
So he's perfect.
Yeah. Mine is... also, Vanessa Kirby's stupid brother.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then he was written that way because she's like, family.
Family, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It's like, it's a little bit like someone saying, it's like someone being sarcastic and saying, well, I'm quite clearly the best here. And then you go, yeah, you're the best here.
Yeah.
And you go, no, that's the joke. He was being sarcastic. So to call anyone out for having zero charisma is correct. Segment better or worse.
Mm.
So, do you have anything for that?
But to improve or ruin the movie was a choice.
Yeah.
I think my choice could do either or both, which is, I don't love premonitions.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I get that because it's a nuclear explosion that's happening. You can't actually have one go off and go, oh, lucky we missed out on that. So you have to show it in some way, which is what the premonition is for. But I just, like in a movie like this where it's so kind of, there's so much verisimilitude, everything's supposed to be as real as possible.
Yeah.
Having kind of like a weird metaphysical moment just... I don't know, it kind of rankles with me.
Okay.
But then I feel like if we didn't have that moment at the start, then Julia turning up would be like, why is she here now? Out of the blue.
Yes.
Like, out of the blue. Like, but we've seen flashes of her up till then, so it's quite satisfying that she turns up as a main character.
That's a good point.
And also the stakes of the nuclear explosion are not an ephemeral thing that it's just like, well, maybe there'll be a bomb.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen a nuclear explosion at the start. Same as Terminator 2 when it happens. It's like, oh, it's too much, all this at the start. But then you're like, oh, no, that's the stakes. That's what we're trying to stop.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's... I think it would both improve and ruin the movie.
No. It's right. No. It's well, maybe that's just a taste thing, right?
Yeah.
So, but
you know, James Bond never has a premonition.
No.
In fact,
his premonition is I'm going to bed those seven women in the next hour.
In fact, the only time there was ever any kind of like weird metaphysical stuff was when he replaced Jane Seymour's deck of tarot cards, so they were all made. Made it look like he had to root her.
Right.
She's like, she drew the lovers and he's like, well, I guess we're going to have to. And then she drops the cards and they're all the lovers.
It's
like, oh, mate, you fell for that one.
Yeah. Classic James. Classic Jimmy. So this is, I I don't think you can kind of improve this film.
No, it's so good.
But I miss Brandt.
Yes.
So,
which is Jeremy Renner, yeah?
Yeah. So,
but he's very busy.
He's really
in this period making the biggest films of all time.
Yeah. So, and then this is, look, this was just me looking for something rather than anything.
Yeah, yeah,
I'd improve the movie, but instead of making it CNN, I would have made it The Daily Show and have Benji pretend to be Jon Stewart, because Cruz confirmed the movie was being made on The Daily Show, so they could have done double duty. And I would have enjoyed. I saw a clip of Jon Stewart taking down a senator at doing what Jon Stewart does best, and it reminded me how much I love Jon Stewart. And so it would be fun to have Jon Stewart walk up alongside all of them, because Wolf Blitzer has been used for so much now.
But at the time, Wolf Blitzer
was great. No, I know.
But if Jon Stewart had done it, maybe they would have used him too much since then.
Yeah. Top Gun Maverick emotional scale. I'm putting it up right there at the end, all because of one person, and that is my love of Michelle Monaghan.
Oh, yeah.
Like the moment that she clocks what's going on. I know we've banged on about it, but that, like, honestly, if you don't know what we're talking about and you have time, just go back and watch that bit.
Uh-huh.
And her acting is out of control. And she's left of the center of the scene, and she hasn't seen any of the premonitions. She doesn't even know what's going on.
No.
And she knows shit is about to get real.
Yeah. She's seen her ex-husband, who is a spy, who got her kidnapped in China.
Yeah.
Over a MacGuffin that had no purpose.
Yeah.
So she knows.
Yeah.
There's bad shit happening.
You can get them at McDonald's, can't you? Those MacGuffins.
Yeah, they come with, it's a Happy Meal. Check Reach Around. Happy Meal.
Yeah.
Happy Ending Meal.
Happy Ending Meal. That's the tie-in.
Get your Jack Reach Around Happy Ending Meal only at McDonald's.
Comes with one MacGuffin. Open it up. There's nothing in there. Exactly. All right. I've got some squid bits for you.
Yes.
The Halo jump was filmed in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. They needed to use a Boeing C-17 Globemaster plane, and the only ones available were in the UAE. The Arabian Desert was replaced digitally by the electrical storm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Though, you know, you get such a different light.
Yeah.
So, Garth Jones and I, for the next Parsi Amel, are doing The Rover. And I rewatched that. Have you ever seen that?
No.
I can't think of the cinematographer's name. I think it's some of the best cinematography I've ever seen for an Australian film. I think it's great, but it's fucking a hard downer. Break. It's a real bummer. But and then I read the latest issue of Saga to take the edge off and went, happening? But
my one problem with the cinematography in this film is that there's such a marked difference between the IMAX and the other film stock that it just, like, it's
a bit jarry.
Yeah. It's like the color grade is different. Like, one's warm, one's cold. And it's like when you're in that final moment when you're flipping between the two, it just is, I found it a bit discombobulating. But because the IMAX stuff looks so crisp and big and amazing. And the other one is just like, feels a little bit blurry.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed a couple of times where it's like, why is their face not in focus? And then it's like, and then suddenly it comes into focus. Yeah. The Halo jump took 12 days to film. Cruz became the first actor to perform a Halo jump, falling 25,000 feet with speeds hitting 200 miles per hour.
Oh my God. He's insane.
Kashmir is in fact New Zealand. The camp is at the Muddy Creek Field in the Otago region north of Queenstown on the South Island.
Queenstown is so beautiful.
So beautiful. Did you fly into Queenstown?
Yes.
Yeah, how good's that fly?
Oh, so good.
When you look out and to the right and there's a mountain at eye level.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah. That's some of the funniest. Brendan Lovegrove.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's a really bad flyer, a New Zealand comedian.
Yeah.
And he's a really bad flyer. by admission, yeah. You know. And when we got on the plane, he had us all sitting up the back. And we were like, that's the worst place to sit. Mm. Because if you sit in the middle, but so we can jump into the toilet and have a panic attack.
Oh.
And Fleety and I were sitting with him. And we were like, hey, look, if you're freaking out, like, we can just engage in conversation. Like,
yeah.
It's not like us two assholes can't talk.
Yeah.
And then we were coming into Queenstown and I looked out the window and saw the mountains at, you know, high level. And I went, wow, that looks more. And then we hit the turbulence and I went, and all my words just dropped. And then Fleety, who was reading a paper, just looked up and said, oh, I can understand why you're scared of flying, because this is fucking terrifying. And poor Brendan burst into it like a ball of sweat and disappeared into the toilet. Fleety. As you said earlier, Renner couldn't be in the film because of scheduling conflicts with Infinity War and Endgame. Cruise injured his right leg on the London set and they had to halt production for 9 weeks.
9 weeks?
Yeah. This cost the production $80 million because they had to make certain everyone didn't take other jobs, but insurance offset the costs. Yeah. But still, that's
expensive.
Oh, sorry. Cruise came back 2 weeks earlier.
Of course he did.
You'll be out for 9 weeks. I can do it in seven.
I'll heal in seven.
Right. So good. He probably said five and he was furious it was seven. Of course, this is what gives us the moustache gate on Justice League,
yeah.
Because of Cavill's moustache. So Macquarie actually gave him permission to shave the moustache. Yeah. And they were going to add it with CGI and... I think Paramount just said no.
No.
And thank goodness, because this is good.
Yeah.
And Justice League, moustache or no moustache...
That's the least of its problems.
...is a dog pile of shit.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, you heard so much about it and you're like, okay, I'll see if I can see it. And then the movie starts and it's the first thing you see.
And you're
it's like, oh, my Lord. Could not stop laughing in the cinema. Oh,
it's so... Why is it so bad?
Well, it's funny. It's like people who don't do it for a job did it... better. So why don't they just do this and this anyway? Yeah. And finally, in India, the film has had references to Kashmir being chopped off, which results in some abrupt edits.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so it looks like we're going to, hopefully we can stop this bomb, I guess so. So segments, sum it up. What are you giving this film?
A score
out of five.
It's a straight up five. It's a perfect score.
Five jaw flexes out of five for me as well. I just like what's there not to like?
It's amazing.
I feel like it's phenomenal watching all of these films, and it's one of the rare. Like I know it's had different directors along the way, but it's like it learns from its mistakes.
Yeah,
and it just, we need to do this better, we need to do that better, we need to add a little bit more of this, why don't we add some of this, and it just kind of refines as it goes along.
I just feel like Macquarie and Cruise together have just become this ridiculous partnership.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, Christopher Macquarie has always written these really complex kind of stories that when you get to the end, you're like, oh, that was that. You know, he's the author of The Usual Suspects. Like, you know, he's great at that kind of pulling the rug out from under you. And yeah, I think he did a decent job on the last one, but I just feel like he's stepped up a notch for this one. And also the fact that it doesn't, you know, for a Mission Impossible film, it doesn't have the big... Oh, here's the big Tom Cruise doing a stupid stunt moment. Like, he has about three or four of them.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have, like, that hanging off the back of the plane. It doesn't have the hanging off the side of the rock. Although I did love that he was crawling up a rock at the end of this. And you're like, well, we've seen him do that. We know he's fine.
Well, you know what? It's like, I forgot to put that in my notes. It's like, finally, you've actually made the start of the second film... count.
Yeah, it's like it's justified now. We know he can do that. But yeah, like so many times it's like, you know, you get the impression it's like, let's do a big set piece and the writers are like refusing to incorporate it in a way that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I was really kind of missing in this one, because, you know, like there's been some hilarious tropes.
Right.
But the only kind of trope that I feel like we were missing in this is the Tom Cruise breaks into somewhere in a really elaborate way.
Right.
Because there was so much happening. It's like, well, we had no time to break in anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, but there is kind of... The break-in... What is the break-in in the end? It's kind of almost like the bombs, I guess. Or yeah, it's not the same.
There's no... You know, I mean, we started with suspended from the ceiling, the iconic moment. And they've tried to recapture that in every single film since. Yeah. Like, whether it's the stupid fulcrum over the...
Yeah.
Or the you know, ridiculous big screen that he and Benji hide behind. Oh, yeah,
with the drip gun.
With the drip gun. Like, there's always some break-in, but we didn't really get a kind of, like, a secret break-in in this one, but which I'm fine with because everything else was wildly entertaining.
Yeah, yeah. And to get a scene like that in, it's another 15.
Yeah. Yeah, like we had the stupid swimming pool in a circle last time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I'm more than happy for Christopher McQuarrie to go, yeah, I'm just not going to do a break-in in this one.
Yeah.
I'll kill Alec Baldwin instead.
Yeah. I've had it up to here with Baldwin. Well, the good thing is that the next step movie is right around the corner.
So we can
go and watch it and then just do a live, like, you know, come back and
talk straight away.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned that, you know, it's a part one.
Yes.
That it's going to be a part one. Like, I like a part one to have completed a story.
Yes.
And introduce the start of the next one. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I want definitely. That.
Well, it kind of feels like the last film and this film are a part one and a part two in a way, because Solomon Lane continues into this one, but he was captured.
Yeah.
And now we've got to find out what happens once he's captured. So hopefully it's like that.
He's double captured. Like, it's his second capture.
Yeah.
He'll get out again.
Sure. He's a good villain.
He's a really good villain.
Yeah.
Although I've not seen him in any of the publicity and marketing. No. Which means maybe he's in it.
Maybe he's in it, yeah.
Because I have been, like, in my Doctor Who podcast, in Adam Richard Has a Theory, I've been very, very concerned that there's not been a single Dalek in any of the... what's coming up in the new Doctor Who's.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, yeah, as if you're not going to have a Dalek.
That's tricky, yeah. Well, I tell you what I am excited for, because we go Michelle Monaghan, and we go Rebecca Ferguson, and we go Vanessa Kirby, and then we get Hayley Atwell.
That's right, Hayley Atwell's in this as well.
Yeah.
As is, I think, and Rebecca Ferguson.
And Vanessa Kirby.
Do you think Monaghan's done? Do you think this was her swan song?
Like, it's a good swan song.
Yeah, it was really good.
But I think all movies are better with Michelle Monaghan.
She's amazing.
I think all TV shows are better with her. Anyway, I'm pretty excited.
Have you gone back to True Detective again?
I will go back to True Detective. It's given me... Mate, how often does Time is a Flat Circle fucking become turn up in things now? Memes and all that.
I know.
Fucking crazy McConaughey. I love him. All right, we'll leave it here. And just for you, I've got one last Jack Reach around. Legs wide shut.
Ass wide open.
Thank you to Adam for hanging with me today. And thank you to Ryan for giving Adam and I just a little bit more ammunition to remain as childish as ever about Jack Reacharound. If you're a Patreon member, why don't you send through some Jack Reacharound title suggestions? They don't have to all be plays on Tom Cruise movies. They can be whatever you want. And I'll mention my favourites to Adam. So if you found that all really childish, then what can I say? Too bad. It's making us laugh. And sometimes you just need something a bit silly to get you through the stressful weeks. I'll be back next week with our final Mission Impossible and then some news that I hope you'll find exciting. I think it's exciting. A little hint. Possibly inspired a little bit by Jack Reacharound. And also, with this new idea, if we do it correctly, this project might take us all the way to part two of Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. So there you go. That's the little hint. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you're having a wonderful week, and we'll chat again soon. Until then.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.